This is Central Time. E-cigarettes and vaping have taken over as preferred alternatives to smoking among young people. But a new alternative product is rising in popularity and has some health officials concerned. Sales of oral nicotine pouches from brands like Zyn, On, and Velo have skyrocketed in the last year. The products have gone viral with influencers on social media who see them as a cleaner alternative to tobacco products. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is among those concerned about nicotine pouches being potentially dangerous for teens. Earlier this year, he called on the FDA to investigate the marketing and health concerns of products like Zyn.
It's a pouch packed with problems, high levels of nicotine. So today, I'm delivering a warning to parents because these nicotine pouches seem to lock their sights on young kids, teenagers, and even lower, and then use the social media to hook them.
Schumer's comments drew pushback from Republican lawmakers who expressed support for Zyn and consumers' ability to choose whether or not to use the product. We're learning more about how these oral nicotine pouches work, how they're marketed, what impacts they could have on our health. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you use these nicotine pouches yourself? Are you seeing them pop up in your community? What do you think about them? What questions do you have about them? Do you see them as a potentially better alternative to smoking or vaping? Are you worried about the potential for underage use? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Brittany Keller Hamilton is an epidemiologist and assistant professor in the Division of Medical Oncology at Ohio State University's College of Medicine. She's the lead author on a recent study published in the medical journal Addiction about the effects of oral nicotine pouches. Brittany, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
For people who haven't encountered these yet, Brittany, can you talk about what these oral nicotine pouches are and how they work?
Sure. So nicotine pouches, as you mentioned, are sold under brand names like Zyn and On. They are small white pouches that contain a powder with nicotine, flavoring chemicals, shelf stabilizers. But the important difference between nicotine pouches and other oral tobacco products like dip is that nicotine pouches don't contain any tobacco leaf.
This is still a pretty new product, at least in wide use in the United States. I assume that means we don't have a lot of long-term studies on health impacts. What kind of things do we know and what kind of questions do you still have?
Sure. So for the things that we do know, you're right. We don't know a lot about them yet. There has been no long-term use study that's been conducted. The closest product to these would be snus, which is widely used in Scandinavian countries. And snus does contain tobacco leaf, but it's a less harmful form of a tobacco product. And it does carry much lower health risks than cigarette smoking.
That's one of the tricky... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, but I think to me, one of the biggest things we don't know from the youth angle, which I understand is a point of interest, is what happens after a youth gets addicted to nicotine pouches. If they continue using nicotine pouches, that's one thing. But if they end up transitioning to more harmful products like cigarettes or other forms of smokeless tobacco, then nicotine pouches really deserve a second look.
This is a conversation we've had a lot about things like vaping for young people. We've seen this long-term decline in the use of tobacco products and nicotine products among younger people. Then along comes vaping, and that initial nicotine use seems to go up. Do we have lessons from vaping that suggest what happens next if those young people go on to use that and other nicotine products in the long run?
Yes, I think we do. Vaping is definitely a cautionary tale. As you said, the prevalence of cigarette smoking and smokeless tobacco use has been declining pretty steadily among youth in the United States. But then e-cigarettes arrived and prevalence got pretty high. And then Juul arrived and they used some chemistry, which I'm happy to talk about some more. But they basically made it so that it was tolerable to inhale higher concentrations of nicotine, which is really when we started to see the prevalence of e-cigarette use start to soar among youth. My concern with nicotine pouches is that we're seeing some of the same chemical manipulations in nicotine pouches that they were kind of playing the same game that they played with e-cigarettes and that they played with earlier forms of smokeless tobacco like dip, where there are products that are kind of milder, more appealing to somebody without nicotine dependence, but then also products available that deliver a huge amount of nicotine to the user and are ultimately harder to quit. So I do think it's worth following nicotine pouches for that reason.
You also look into marketing of these kinds of products. And we know over the years, the tobacco industry has been accused of, well, and internal documents show that they have been trying to bring in new generations of tobacco users over the decades. Do you see anything in the marketing of these pouch products that has you worried when it comes to young people?
So I think the marketing relative to what we were seeing with e-cigarettes is probably a little more cautious. Maybe a lesson was learned there. But something that's really interesting to me is that the tobacco industry kind of cornered the market for white men using smokeless tobacco, especially white rural men or white Appalachian men. And it's been noted from a few different studies now that they're trying to market nicotine pouches now more broadly to women and people of color. So trying to bring some new consumers into the oral nicotine marketplace.
We're talking to Brittany Keller-Hamilton, epidemiologist and oncology professor at The Ohio State University, looking at a rising product, oral nicotine pouches under brand names like Zyn, and how they affect our health, concerns about younger users. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Is this news to you? Do you have questions about what these things are and how they work? Have you used nicotine pouch products like Zyn or some of the other brand names out there? Have you seen young people in your community, your family, your school using them? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Brittany Keller-Hamilton. She's an epidemiologist and assistant professor of medical oncology at The Ohio State University. She's with us today to talk about the popularity of nicotine pouches, how they're marketed, if they're marketed to younger people, and if younger people are using them, what impacts they can have on our health. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Has anybody spotted these things in the wild? Is this something you've tried, maybe as an alternative to smoking a cigarette or smokeless tobacco or vaping? Have you seen younger people in your community? Love to hear if people at schools are seeing these things show up. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Brittany, one hope for these, I think, for some people is, you know, if I could use these instead of smoking a cigarette, well, that's probably a net gain in health. What do we know about the possibility of these being an alternative that might lead someone to use less dangerous or more dangerous products less often?
Thanks. That's a great question. And that's the type of research that I've really been focused on lately. Can we regulate nicotine pouches so that they're maximally appealing to smokers and people who use other forms of smokeless tobacco, and at the same time, too harsh for young people? And I do think that there is a potential there because, as you had mentioned earlier in the hour, nicotine pouches are available in a range of nicotine concentrations. Some of them do deliver quite a lot of nicotine. And there are other characteristics of pouches that can further speed up that nicotine delivery. So we've done research showing that nicotine pouches deliver nicotine slower than a cigarette, but their peak, the peak levels that people get in their plasma of nicotine can be within the same range. So it might be a product that is appealing to smokers or smokeless tobacco users who are used to getting a lot of nicotine from their products. If they shop around and they find the right type of pouch that delivers the hit that they're seeking, they might be able to start to cut down on their smoking or smokeless tobacco use. That being said, that long-term research hasn't been conducted to see how effective nicotine pouches are against other forms of smoking cessation therapy, like nicotine lozenges or gums or patches.
Yeah, your research that you mentioned, you've looked at whether, correct me if I'm stating this wrong, whether that pouch kind of fits the bill for that person who's used to smoking a cigarette, getting that instant bit of nicotine, and if that's going to reduce their cravings for the actual, you know, physical cigarette. Given that curve you mentioned of that slower impact of the nicotine, is it doing that job?
So we find that over the course of the 90 minutes that we followed people in this study, for most of that time, their craving for a cigarette was similar, whether we asked them to smoke a cigarette or whether we asked them to use a nicotine pouch. However, at 5 minutes, which is when people reach their peak nicotine level from smoking, the nicotine pouches weren't relieving craving as well as a cigarette. So it's kind of a point where if you have a motivated individual who's really trying to quit smoking, they might be able to hang on long enough to avoid smoking that cigarette using a nicotine pouch. But again, that's research that will need to be conducted to see how well nicotine pouches perform in that setting.
We heard from Evan in Superior, who says, as someone who's tried to quit smoking, nicotine pouches seem like a cheaper and more convenient alternative to smoking cessation aids like a Nicorette. Both hold equal amounts of nicotine, i.e. 2 or 4 milligrams, Evan says. How do these vary from the smoking cessation aids that one would purchase in a pharmacy? It's a fantastic question, Brittany. How do you stack up the pouches versus patches or gum?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. Thank you. So one key way that pouches differ is that the total nicotine available in a pouch is typically higher. So the most popular pouch right now is a Zyn 6-milligram pouch in the United States, and that's higher than you typically see for a gum or a lozenge, and on even goes up to 8 milligrams per pouch. And then there are other chemical properties of pouches related to their pH that will speed up or even slow down, you could say, their nicotine delivery, to kind of help the user manage the strength of the hit that they get. So that's, you know, the nicotine characteristics are a little bit different. There's a little more variety in pouches. The other way that they differ is there are a lot of flavors available, which is controversial because that is also appealing to youth. But if you are a person who's used to smoking cigarettes and you're looking for something that's flavorful and maybe different to use, there are a lot of flavors of nicotine pouches, and compared to nicotine lozenges and gums, there are usually maybe just a handful of flavors.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Clayton is with us in Ellsworth. Clayton, hi.
Hi there. I do use Zyn nicotine pouches, and I can say that it does somewhat help stop the cravings of smoking. But I also did want to say that with the younger generations, I have overheard both online and in person that teenagers prefer the pouches, so that way they can use them in class.
And Clayton, before I let you go, could I ask where are you coming from and using these pouches? Were you smoking cigarettes or vaping, or what was your nicotine intake before the pouches came along?
I started vaping, then I started smoking, and then I moved to those to try and quit.
Gotcha. Good luck to you in quitting, Clayton. Thank you so much for sharing that. First of all, Clayton said he had started with the vaping and moved to smoking tobacco. As an epidemiologist, that's got to be one of your worst case scenarios for these alternative nicotine products, Brittany.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. And we've seen a lot of evidence of that pathway playing out with adolescents. So that is one of my bigger concerns with nicotine pouches.
And Clayton brought up the concern that this might be a good stealthy way for kids in school who want some kind of nicotine product to stealthily take these pouches. How big a worry is that?
So that's something that we're waiting to see play out in the research literature. That being said, I'm at The Ohio State University, where there are a lot of undergraduate students. And I have been hearing anecdotal reports of students going between vaping and using pouches, where they use the pouch in situations where they can't get away with vaping. So I think it's something important to follow, and hopefully we have some research coming through soon to see how big of an issue that is.
Thanks again for the call, Clayton. I appreciate it. Wanted to talk about health concerns of nicotine in and of itself. We know with smoking cigarettes, a lot of the health concern comes from all the other stuff, the other chemicals, some properties of the tobacco itself. Straight up nicotine, what do we know about its health impacts?
So as you said, relative to all the other constituents in a cigarette or a smokeless tobacco product, nicotine is not that harmful. That being said, there are certain groups of people who should try to avoid nicotine. And probably the largest group population-wise would be young people, especially people before their brains have finished developing, so before age 25. And this is because using nicotine as your brain is still developing primes you for a stronger nicotine addiction. It increases risk of addiction to other substances, And then it's also associated with some other changes in impulse control. So that's certainly a population that, recognizing that nicotine itself isn't a carcinogen, for example, there are a lot of negative consequences of using nicotine.
In our last minute or so, Brittany, suppose Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called you up or others or a state legislator or something said, what should I know about these products? What should I be thinking about as I look at possible regulations? What would you tell them?
So the line of thinking we're pursuing right now at Ohio State is, again, how we can regulate these so that they're really appealing to smokers and really far too harsh for young people. So I would think about a nicotine standard that actually sets the bar pretty high. So if you don't have a nicotine tolerance already, it makes you vomit. And then also other important characteristics like the pH of the product should be considered so that nicotine delivery can be better titrated within a product standard.
Brittany, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Brittany Keller-Hamilton, epidemiologist and assistant professor in the Division of Medical Oncology at The Ohio State University's College of Medicine. She was with us today to talk about the rise in popularity of oral nicotine pouches and some of her own research looking at their impacts on smoking rates and health. Still time for you to share your story if you've spotted these in your community, if you're worried about their use, or find it a good alternative to smoking or vaping. Email ideas@WPR.org. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, sports gambling is big business with online casinos making deals with major league organizations, and sports betting scandals are cropping up. We'll open up the sports books. And a form of avian flu has been found in cows around the country and in some humans. An expert on animal and human diseases joins the show for a look at the latest on the disease and efforts to prevent its spread. That more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.